In this episode of Lug Radio, our vertically challenged friend Matt couldn't be here due to doing some exams. So, just to make it feel like he's still here, I've dropped in a few clips of him saying typical Matt things to make it feel like he's here in the studio. Enjoy. Okay, welcome to episode 5 of season 2.
Episode 5.
And here we are again, sat in a room.
What would we be sat in otherwise, by the way? A park?
An oil rig?
You see, we should be sitting in a park with, like, cans of Special Brew and whatnot. We should do a thing.
Is it me, or does Special Brew taste like liquid rust?
No, Special Brew tastes like acidic wolf's piss. It's just not nice at all.
Having never tasted that.
But not that I've tasted rust.
When have you drunk rust?
Ah, I've led a varied and colourful life.
Yeah, you've drunk Rusty Russell.
I've drunk a Jack Russell.
Rusty Russell. With a Jack Russell.
What's the name of that?
And
a
Russell.
Wasn't he the guitarist on Blizzard of Oz?
What, Rusty Russell?
Rusty Lee, do you remember that black woman cover?
Yeah.
Rusty Lee?
Yes.
Whatever happened to her?
Who's Rusty Russell then?
I thought he was a guitarist on Blizzard of Oz.
There's no idea.
I think
her
afro
about.
Killed her.
Is it?
What, the new GPL?
Indeed.
The afro GPL, absolutely. Which we'll be talking about later, ladies and gentlemen.
You sound a little bit hoarse, Matt.
Now right. You've lost your beard.
No, he feels a little
and
hoarse.
I've turned ginger.
And a lot of your anger.
Indeed.
I think it's time we introduced everyone. Okay, first of all, on the right hand side of the room is.
With enormous testicles.
Mr. Stuart Langridge, who's wearing stupidly tight trousers tonight.
I know.
And I can see an outline. And ladies, it's not that. It's not that impressive, to be honest. That's Jen we're speaking to. Because there's no other ladies.
I've got the rest of it stashed in a warehouse in Warrington.
I've got my 15th bollock in a warehouse.
Okay. Greg.
Greg bollock. Okay, next to Ack, we've got a stand-in. Matt's away doing his exams for his marketing degree. Hey, do you like marketing, don't you?
I find it captivating.
And what isn't it? It's not...
Sorry, I just lapsed into a comment.
Shut up. It's not advertising, is it?
No, it is.
Anyway, in Matt's replacement.
You can't just push my buttons
do
like
not,
that, man.
Do not feed the trolls.
I can push your buttons like I can push this button.
Anyways.
Yeah, the replacement for Matt is Mr. Lee Jordan.
Hello.
Who's known to the...
ran off.
As ran off.
Indeed.
Because he wears a stupidly hairy coat.
it's cold out there.
Ranulph, fine.
Next to Ranulph, we've got Adrian...
Uncle Bold.
Adrian Baldshaw.
Making Bold look good, remember.
And my name's Pete Rolliver. I'm Jono Bacon. Jono Bacon.
He's doing it himself now.
Well, it's, you know.
You just give up.
If people bully you, might as well join up with the bullies.
You should wear one of them little blue bands.
Oh, man, we did that. That was a visual thing that you did that scared me just then. It looked like you were putting a rubber glove on.
Blue like I was band. Fisting something.
Hey?
Blue are a band.
Fisting
so,
blue.
What do you want to do?
Isn't that John's song by Darius?
Fisting blue. Well, Fisting Blue the band.
The band. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, not like... No. I'm not going to say it.
What would you like to talk about?
Let's talk about GPL.
Yep, I would talk about the new GPL and the Afro GPL and where the GPL's going.
Yeah. It's obviously getting big and bushy.
Afro GPL. I was going to make a license and then I got high.
I was going to release the source, but then I got high.
So, let's...
Now I'm working for Novell and I know why. Because I got high.
Right.
He's libelous.
What else should we talk about?
We can talk to Gavin.
Let's talk to Fedora. Gavin. We'll be speaking, the man from Fedora.
We'll be speaking to Gavin Henry from FedoraNews.org about Fedora Core 3 and what it's all about.
And we could do a mini news roundup.
A mini news roundup?
We could. Is that like news for small people?
Indeed.
No, it's only very small bits of news. You have three letters to describe IBM selling off their PC department. Go, Jono.
We'll talk about that as well, shall we?
Yes.
We've got lots to talk about.
You know what? We should get no time whatsoever to talk about.
What? The cell check.
The fact that Thunderbird is now out and release one.
It is.
Whatever.
But let's not talk about that.
No.
I don't care about this for two reasons. First of all, it doesn't do anything new and interesting that I don't already have. And secondly, it's not in Ubuntu. And, it's probably in Hori, but I'm not...
The world ends at Ubuntu for you, doesn't
that's
it?
That's right. It certainly
nothing
does.
Else ever existed.
Ubuntu's brilliant.
It's Debian brought up to date, though, isn't it?
It is. It's Debian, like, configured properly. I mean, that's what it is.
Almost just
like
works.
Fedora, really.
Yeah.
It's for humans.
Please remove that finger.
I didn't think you'd joke on it.
Before we... That's not a finger. Oh, yeah.
I'm just too tired for this one.
Okay, yeah, so next we're going to be phoning up Gavin Henry, who is quite a big contributor on fedoranews.org.
What's Fedora?
Yeah. It's something that, it's some, I know. It's something that you criticise having never installed or used it.
I never said that.
Well, we're
I just said that.
We are going to get some information directly from the horse's mouth. So
he's a horse.
It's not that ugly. We've not even seen him.
Nice.
Okay. So, should we ring?
Is there a name for when you can have like your name backwards, Gavin Henry? Having is there a word for
having
that?
Gavin Henry. That's it's a spoonerism.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It's a spoonerism.
Having spoonerism with it where you mix the first letter of each word.
Yeah.
Like your wafty cranker.
Not. Yeah. That's a spoonerism.
Okay, should we ring the wafty cranker?
Yes.
Okay, wafty fedora cranker, no less.
Okay, let's ring him.
Hello, Gavin speaking.
Hello, Gav. It's Jono from Lug Radio again.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey,
I say again because I spoke to you about 5 minutes ago and I shouldn't have said that. So how's things, Gav?
Oh, fine. Just rushing around trying to get my son fed.
Ah.
Fair enough. I hope you're not breastfeeding your son.
No.
That must hurt. So, who are you and what do you do?
Well, feeding him breasts.
by the dozen.
I wish I would do that to me.
So, yeah.
Well, my name's Gavin Henry. From a company called SureTech Systems, which I launched and founded just over a year ago.
Okay.
Cool. And you do what?
Regarding open source, I'm a writer for Fedora News.
So is that your paid job, Gavin, or not?
Which, the SureTech?
Yeah. No, the Fedora News thing.
No, that's purely, all the open source is purely voluntary.
Okay, and you run your own business, you say?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's been going for about a year. It's been kind of slow. Me and another two guys, John Williams and Mark Ritchie, funding it to get it on its feet. But we landed and the DTI. I don't know if you're aware of a system called EEMS.co.uk. That's EEMS.
No, I don't think so.
Every oil provider in the UK, whenever they bring chemicals on board, the oil rigs have to register and go through these two enterprise servers, which is SUSE Linux.
So that's why you said you had to fly up to an oil rig.
Recovery job for that, using Arman, which is the Oracle proprietary stuff, I think, or open source, I'm not sure.
Right.
And Amanda to dump it to tape and rotate it. So it's quite a heavy configuration, but it's up and running now, and so it's quite a big job for us.
Yeah.
Cool. So if you're doing a lot of work with SUSE Linux there, why are you writing for Fedora News?
We're not doing a lot of work with it. It just happens to be that's the distro they had on the machines.
So how long have you been running Red Hat then, Gavin?
Well, I'll go back to the conversation you had a couple of shows ago about dating it by versions. Which was version 6 for me.
Right.
So it's about... I'm quite young into it, about 4 years. Not
okay.
As long as you guys, but it's long enough to...
Thanks.
I mean, not everyone can be as long as me, no.
Oh, I just realised what I said.
So do you only run Red Hat and Fedora stuff?
I try to. At the moment I've got Fedora running the company email and backups and everything, and I'm trying out Ubuntu on my laptop.
That's interesting.
So you'll be stopping writing Fedora News then at some point soon.
We love the Ubuntu.
What do you use for your mail
I've
then,
I've always
Gavin?
Been impressed with Debian, because obviously apps runs a lot faster because it's its native environment.
I've got to admit, I've noticed that, because I now dual boot between Fedora and Ubuntu, and I did notice that Ubuntu runs much quicker.
Why do you do that?
Because I've been using Red Hat for so long, it's just ingrained, and I just know how to do things in there. I'm still trying to find out how to do that.
Yeah. So, Gavin, tell us about Fedora Core 3.
Yeah, tell these guys what has happened in Fedora Core 3.
Well, it's been a big change if you've come from Fedora Core 1, obviously, but for Fedora Core 2, they've put in UDEV, which is a lot smoother, so you don't have the huge redundant files in the dev directory and everything.
So we kind of know that as Project Utopia, don't we?
There's no change to the policies of FT Linux. I think the big thing for me is GNOME 2.8.
Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
When did this come into Fedora Core?
2.8.
Yeah. Was that in Fedora Core 3?
Yeah, Fedora Core 3.
Right. Right.
So you could get unofficial RPMs for Fedora Core 2, but yeah, it's been integrated.
So bear with me, since you're, I mean, we're kind of Ubuntu-ish people, since you're using it on your laptop, are there fundamental differences between the two, or are they, you know, quite similar in terms of
got quite similar. I don't know about you, Gavin.
The only thing I've noticed is that they've incorporated a lot of wireless drivers and other drivers, because with Fedora Core 3 on my laptop, I've got what wireless card is it? An Amtel, one or something like that.
Okay.
And that's integrated straight with Ubuntu, which I was quite impressed with. I just plugged it in and it hooked up to my access point.
Yeah,
that is very cool. They have taken a lot of the sort of low-level control away from the user and tried to smooth it all out, which is, I think, mm-hmm. is best for its desktop.
The Atmel card, is it an Action Tech?
Pardon?
The Atmel card, is it an Action Tech?
Mine is just a generic one. It's the ATMEL chipset, I think.
All right. I was going to say, the reason the ActionTech ones are detected is because I submitted a bug report, which cheers me up no end, because that's the same as my card then.
Really? I submitted the bug report for the ADM tech. And it's now in Ubuntu.
Aren't you guys great?
We developed Ubuntu. Colin Watson had nothing to do with it. It was all me and Jono.
Of these two?
Yes, I am.
Didn't actually do the coding. They just suggested someone else do it.
I just submitted the bug report. People, submit your bugs.
Yeah, but you should also remember that we open source Project Looking Glass as well.
That's true.
So, Gavin, tell us a bit more about, where do you think Red Hat are going with Fedora?
I think at the moment, there's obviously a lot of community Red Hat guys involved with Fedora news and the forums and stuff like that, so we do get a lot of information filtered down.
Red Hat, you say, do actually contribute quite actively or not?
Yeah, they do. Guys like Tim Wah is always in there. Colin from Fedora News is at all the sort of Red Hat meetings and things like that, so he always gives us a few slight hints to what's going on, you know. But I think mainly they're trying to use it as a test bed for Enterprise Linux, basically.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously that's what they're doing.
Just out of curiosity, I mean, I have to admit, I've never used Fedora. I used to use Red Hat years ago. And the work that is going on in Fedora does seem really good. The reason why I use Ubuntu is simply because it's Debian-based. But what is unique about Fedora? Why, as a Linux person, why should I really use Fedora over anything else? What does it give me that's new and unique?
For me,
I think it's got a huge user base already.
But so is Windows, I mean.
I always think of Fedora, they're always pushing the boundaries. I mean, they've paid big attention to SE Linux since Fedora Core 2 and Fedora Core 3 even more so now.
I was going to ask you guys about the SE Linux stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only distro I know of that pay that much attention to it. I mean, Ubuntu doesn't even mention it, does it?
I don't know, to be honest.
No.
Okay.
I mean, the SE Linux thing, the impression I got was that it wasn't particularly a thing that's part of the whole desktop vibe. I mean, I can see it being vaguely useful in there, but it's more about kind of multi-user machines and servers to some extent.
Red Hat isn't as desktop-focused as Ubuntu,
No, I mean,
it?
And that's the point. The reason Ubuntu doesn't mention it is because Ubuntu is very, very clearly and only a desktop distribution. They knock on you can use it for servers, but you fucking can't. It's a desktop distribution.
And I'm assuming that Fedora is aimed specifically towards the desktop as well.
No, I don't think it is. It's I don't know, I get the feeling it's somewhere in between the server
but
and desktop.
But is maybe that a problem with it, the fact that it's not a definitive distribution? Because, I mean, if I was to stick something on a server, for example, I'd probably generally plump for something such as either Debian Stable or Slackware or something like that.
Okay.
Whereas for the desktop, I'd probably go for something such as Fedora or Ubuntu. I mean, it's...
Why wouldn't you put it on a server?
I don't know,
Red Hat have got a big lineage of server operating systems.
They have, but they're the Red Hat Enterprise operating systems.
But you can still use Fedora Core to do that stuff.
But does it work as well as the Enterprise ones?
Yeah, I mean, as Gavin was saying, they kind of use it as a test bed for Enterprise Linux. So you get all the latest stuff, all the stuff they're trying in there.
That's the way the marketing goes, isn't it?
Well, how driven is... I mean, a question for you, Gavin, is how driven is Fedora by Red Hat, and how much is driven by contributors?
I think Red Hat have taken a backseat to it. You see the Red Hat registered name all over the place, but they do make it clear that it's not sponsored by, you know. And I think it's heavily pushed by the community. I mean...
But they do contribute stuff to it, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So I went to their roadshow last year, and they seem really Red Hat seemed really excited by the whole thing. They're really up for it and really into it.
The thing is, I mean, apart from the SE Linux thing, I mean, that's the only thing that's keeping me from it personally is just the fact that it lacks. Well, it's got apt in there. Is it right that there's three different package repositories, or about three or four different package
there
management
systems? There are at least two different ways you can do it. Yeah.
So what's the standard one for Fedora?
Gavin, is it Yum?
Yeah, it's Yum. I don't know if you noticed, I think it was yesterday or the day before, they just released finally a graphical bit for Yum as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Yum's standard with it, you have to install apt by yourself.
Right.
Just because I'm thick, right, I don't really understand this.
Agreed.
Debian has had apt for years, and everyone used to bitch at the Red Hat people because all the Red Hat stuff was a real pain, didn't work very well. Mm-hmm. And then Connective reported apt to RPMs, and you had apt to RPM, and people started using that on Red Hat and said it was great. And then some guys invented Yum. Why? What was wrong with apt?
I've got to admit, with every version of Red Hat that I've used and Fedora, apart from Core 3, I've just installed apt RPM.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. As soon as I knew
so
it was around.
What does Yum do then?
But I don't understand the point of inventing. And, yeah. But why did they invent another one? I don't get it.
Well, I think the thing with Yum is... Sorry to butt in there.
No, go for it. It's your opinion we want.
We are interviewing you. We'll just tell Aid to shut up.
It's just all moved over to XML, so all the sources are down in XML. It's written in Python.
You've got to love it now.
No. XML now to try and get...
I mean, I'm all for implementing stuff in Python. I'm all for using XML, but I don't see the point in taking something that already exists, ignoring it, and reinventing something which does basically the same thing.
Does apt-get use XML then?
No.
Right. So I can kind of see why then.
Why?
Because it's good to use XML.
No, it isn't. There's no point in just using XML because it's XML.
Why not just make apt use XML?
Excellent. Can you put that together?
XML
weekend?
Excellent.
What about Yap? Yeah,
excellent. So, okay, so I mean, what's in store for Fedora then? I mean, is this package management nightmare going to be resolved? How are things going to move forward with the...
Fedora doesn't have a package management
nightmare. Nightmare is a bit of an exaggeration, but it's an enormous exaggeration.
Considering you've never used it.
Right, but but there's three different package management systems.
Yeah.
Which one's it to be?
It's choice. It's all about choice.
Yeah, but the thing is, can you get every package that you want for all three package management systems?
They're RPMs, man.
So one RPM will work with either system?
Of course.
That's the way it works?
Yeah.
Right, okay. That's where I was confused.
So it's not... They're not fundamentally different things. They're just different interfaces on the same thing.
Yeah, they're just interface to RPM.
Right, so it's like the difference between Synaptic and Deity.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
I thought
didn't think that Yum and apt looked at the same repositories.
Yeah.
I thought if you wanted to get your packet distributed under Yum, you had to get it into a Yum repository, and if you wanted to distribute it under apt-rb, you had to get it into an aptable repository.
You do have to create different sort of indexes to the repositories. So you have an XML one for Yum, obviously, and then a normal one for apt. So that's the only difference between them. And Yum has sort of different install options where you can do group install. So say you didn't have any developer packages, you can do Yum group install developer. That's sort of similar, and it'll just get every sort of package you need rather than having to
do
one after the other.
Okay, so. And just briefly, in general, are people who are running repositories, do they tend to make them Yummable and aptable and
Yummable
and up-to-datable or whatever? Or do they tend to say, no, we use Yum, so you end up having to use Yum too, or...?
It depends on the person. There's Dag Weirs, who is purely apt guy. I think he's got Yum. But some of them, they've all just... A lot of them are switched into Yum now. There's at least 7 or 8 different servers you can go to. So if you want sort of Java-tailored ones, or you want Mono or something like that, you can...
Julius,
can I ask one last question before we wrap the segment up? The one thing that I find a little concerning about Fedora, and like I say, I've not used it before, so I'm not seriously passing comment about it, and I am planning on using it eventually Fedora Core 15. with Fedora, am I right in thinking that the default interface is GNOME?
Yes.
But that GNOME interface is kind of oddly configured. It looks different to a stock GNOME desktop. The last time I've seen it, it looks like it's got a panel across the bottom like KDE, but it's in GNOME.
Okay.
Am I seeing the wrong thing, or is that KDE?
No,
it's GNOME.
Do you know GNOME 2.8 now is like standard install where it's got the panel across the top.
Right. So they've changed that.
The only thing they change is a bit of the menu layout and the icons.
Right, okay, so, because this might have been an older version of Fedora, but I thought that they just had a panel across the bottom.
Yeah, they used to.
The older ones.
Oh, so yeah. They've changed that.
Yeah.
Because
the default's always been GNOME.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, but I thought, well, why have they changed the GNOME interface?
I think they made a conscious decision to try and make the two look the same.
Right.
That was the whole blue curve thing.
Blue curve thing was cool.
Yeah, that was Red Hat 8.
Blue curve thing was not cool.
Well, it was entertaining. Cool. Anyway, well, thanks for coming on the show, Gavin. It's been really interesting talking to you. And
yeah, good luck with your company, man.
Good luck with the company, and enjoy your time on the rig. And keep us updated with what you're doing.
I will do. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Take care and spread the good word about Lug Radio.
Oh, by the way, Mark Taylor says hi, Jono.
Oh, right. Brilliant. Hi, Mark.
Nice one.
Cheers, then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
One of the things that lots of people talk about and think about and whatever in the open source world is licensing. Now, it's really boring. Nobody gives a shit.
That's right. Why are we talking about it?
But here's the thing. You've got the GPL, yep. And the Free Software Foundation are what the fuck is that?
It's my cow box.
You've got a small box that makes the noise of cows.
That's quality.
It's amazing how you're doing it with inserted up your arse.
It's like the accordion for the 21st century, is it?
Come on, cow. Come on. Ooh. Come on. Come on, cow. Sorry, you were saying.
If I could tear you back to the point just briefly. The Free Software Foundation have been talking for some time about a version 3 of the GPL. Because the GPL's very good at what it covers, but there's a load of stuff that it doesn't cover.
Okay.
Like
closed source. I've been mailing Stallman about this. I don't want to give the source code away. Can you merge this into the third version of the GPL?
I don't know how far you've got with those emails, but I suspect if the bloke prints them out, he'll have plenty of bog paper for the next couple of years. There's a thing called the Afro GPL.
Afro.
Afro. AFFERO. Not right. Afro as in the massive great big haircut.
That you've got.
You'll find one to talk about Afro. Fucking on call.
You'd
bald.
Look really cool with an Afro, actually. A big ginger, Afro.
Big. I don't think I've ever seen anyone with a ginger Afro. I'm not sure I ever do want to see anyone with a ginger Afro. Anyway, the Afro GPL.
Incidentally, what does it stand for?
It doesn't stand for anything. Just Afro. It's the name of the company.
Okay. Oh, it's a company thing?
Yeah, yeah. Some company called Afro went to the Free Software Foundation. Look, I didn't think up their name. I have no idea why they called themselves Afro.
I have no idea.
It might be Afero.
No, it's Afro.
Okay. Even if it isn't, from now on it is.
Right, okay. The Afro GPL. Afro, the company.
Yep.
They do web service stuff. And they said, now here's the thing. We can download some free software, make all the changes to it we want, and then run a website with it, but we don't have to give the source away because we're not distributing the code.
Okay.
That seems unfair. You know, it seems a bit against the idea of free software. Indeed. And the Free Software Foundation went, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
But you're not obliged to do anything in the GPL because you're not distributing it. So Afro came up with the Afro GPL, which is the GPL, but with one extra clause which says basically if you're, you know, if you're not distributing the code but you're using it to run something like a website, then all the GPL crap still applies and that counts as distribution, and so you have to make the source code available, stuff like that.
Oh, right.
Seemed like quite a cool idea, I thought.
So they forced themselves into giving the source code away?
Yeah, because they're in favour of free software.
I thought you were going to say for a second then that Afro were against.
No, Afro are for
it. This
is why I thought it was interesting. Because at the moment, you know, you can get OS Commerce, say, which is, you know, PHP online e-commerce shopping
thing. Look, shopping you just got to accept thing. You're a ginger tosser.
And you can make all the changes to it you like and run your site with it, and you don't have to contribute those changes back to the community.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, because you're not distributing it, is perfectly legitimate under the current GPL, but it seems a bit, you know, off.
So why didn't they just disregard, then? Just why do they need to make a new...
Well, what they want to do is they want to say, look, here is the license. It wouldn't matter for them. They could just say, regardless of the fact that we're not obliged to distribute our changes, we're going to anyway because we're nice.
That's what I mean, yeah. Why don't they just
but
do that?
I think what they were trying to do was...
Are they designing a model for it.
Yeah, design a model for changes for GPL version 3. Because they went to the FSF and said, we'd like to do this, and Eben Moglen, the lawyer at the FSF...
Who, incidentally, he's got the coolest name ever. Eben Moglen. It sounds like some kind of gremlin, don't you think?
Eben Moglen. I don't know. It sounds a little bit like, you know, a hemorrhoid treatment or something.
Don't take talk two, about
take two Eber Moglens. Call me in the morning. You know, so...
Yeah.
I just thought the Afro GPL thing was cool. The Free Software Foundation are thinking about, talking quite a lot about version 3 of the GPL, which is not only going to cover, ideally, stuff like this...
Right.
...but also things like software
I was going to say, it covers patents as well.
Yeah, because the interesting thing... I've got this kind of image in my head.
Is it in about on call bald naked?
It's not on call bald naked. No, sorry, on call bald.
No, but now you have
now I have got the image of on call bald naked, and it's sickening, frankly.
Oh, come on, you're aroused.
I'm not. I'm really, really, really not.
I'd never want to see that.
I'm quite aroused.
What, of yourself naked?
Always.
Just like the opposite.
I walk past the mirror naked, and I'm like,
you haven't got an identical twin brother.
Erectally too functional.
Every man has that problem.
That's not at all good. Oh yeah, no. The vision I have, at some point in sort of 1998, 1999 maybe, Bill Gates went to set up a little meeting at Microsoft, three or four guys, and said, this Linux thing, right, I think it's going to cause us a problem. The Apple thing we're not bothered about because it's only for tossers in orange sunglasses and whatnot. You know, we're never going to really break into the whole Quark Express market, so fuck that noise. The designers can keep their Macs. But this Linux thing could cause us a serious issue. So your job, you four guys, is just come up with a way of making us beat Linux. Don't care what the ways are. You know, you don't necessarily have to think we need to be technically better than. Just think... You know, think outside the box. And they went, okay, we'll do patents and we'll do FUD and things like that, you know. And whereas the whole Linux community were thinking, well, all we need to do is be technically superior and then we'll win. That's all we have to do.
Have you heard the things Ballmer's been saying about Linux?
Eh?
Have you heard the things that Steve Ballmer's been saying about it recently? In the information age, he said, if you implement Linux in your company, in your economy, it'll damage your company, country's economy or something like that. And that it infringes 200 and something.
Oh, yeah.
This is exactly the point. They tried the whole, the GPL is a virus and it's against the American way and all that. And I can imagine these guys sitting there in this room going, okay, new idea for attacking Linux. And it's not, we will be better than them or we will prove... that our stats are better than them were. I mean, you know, in some things Windows is better, in some things Linux is better, but they're kind of...
There's a rough...
No, I'm not a complete zealot, you know.
Yes, you are.
But to be honest with you, there's a reasonable amount of parity there. So I think... I personally prefer
Linux. Isn't that a coloured bird?
Yeah. parity as in being balanced rather than parity as in of parrot. given the fact that the two things are, you know, on the same order, you'd think that half the world would be Windows and half would be Linux. Mm-hmm. Say, or maybe a third would be Windows and a third would be Mac OS and a third would be Linux, depending on where you sit on that fence. On call ball, not in favour of that one.
No.
The Microsoft people can't afford to have that happen. Because if 50% of the world is Linux, they've just lost 50% of their installed base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can't afford to say, okay, Linux is as good as us. So they, even though it basically is. So these guys are sitting there in this room going, okay, attack it on patents.
Yeah, I mean, listen to Steve's...
FUD about stuff, you know.
Haven't they ruled it as unconstitutional, the GPL? Or someone?
Haven't who? People have suggested that the GPL is unconstitutional. Yeah. And Eben Moglen went... no, it's like bleeding out of his ear.
The other thing,
but listening to Steve Ballmer talking, I mean, first of all, what he said, it infringes so many copyright patents.
That wasn't him, though, was it?
Wasn't it? Okay.
No, that but was. That was some report.
It was a funny sort of report.
Wasn't it funded by Microsoft, though?
Yeah.
We might be wrong.
And then he goes and says, like, if you're going to implement it, it's going to damage your nation's economy. It just sounds like they're almost getting quite scared now. You were wearing a T-shirt the other day that said, first of all, they laugh at you.
Yeah.
Then they fear you. Then you beat them.
Then you win.
Yeah? Was that a Gandhi quote or something?
It was a Gandhi. It was a Gandhi.
And it just, are we getting to that second point where we're actually starting to spook them now?
I think it seems a bit...
Because that's a really strange thing to say. If you implement them, you're going to harm your economy. That sounds desperate.
I do kind of get the impression they're like, shit, that we tried the GPL is un-American thing and it didn't seem to work. What's next? And they sort of got... think of something else. Patents. Damage your economy.
I think the thing about them is that the thing about Microsoft is that although the Linux community don't usually take what they say with much honesty, you know, they don't
or
generally
any credibility at all.
I think a lot of people do because they're such a large organisation, particularly
naturally
people
they will.
Business.
Of course, they will.
And the thing is that if Ballmer says that, then it's going to frighten the people who are dealing in the stocks and the shares. And they're going to then have an impact on the people who actually buy the Microsoft licenses. So the people are going to think, oh shit, it's going to cause problems to the economy. And all of the businessmen they're only thinking about, you know, how much their shares are worth at that particular time.
So it's just more FUD, really, isn't it?
Completely. I reckon they've been nervous about Linux, mainly since IBM stepped in and said, we're going to make this central to our strategy, because IBM were like a big organisation. I mean,
they still are a big organisation.
Yeah, just
it's the bat phone.
It's a bloody bat phone. Ignore the phone.
But I mean, this is what I thought was interesting. Seriously, I really got the impression that the Linux community thought, okay, as soon as we get software which is on a par with Windows, in that, you know, it's generally as usable, and we've got word processors and we've got network analysis tools, and it's not all on the command line, then we're suddenly going to win. And the Microsoft guys haven't attacked Linux, haven't confronted it in the way that the community thought they were going to. They thought they were going to say, nah, you see, because we're actually better. Windows Server 2003 is actually three times faster than Linux, and we can easily demonstrate that that's not the case. Not in every case, but we can demonstrate that, you know, on sort of technical benchmark stuff, we're roughly on a par with Microsoft. But they haven't attacked it in that way at all. They've started to talk about patents, and they've attacked the GPL, and, you know, maybe some guys sat in the room and went, I tell you what, let's fund SCO.
I think it depends on your view as well. I think they have tried to take it from a performance standpoint, because more and more you're seeing, I've seen it mainly, to be honest, on Slashdot. You see ads saying this particular Microsoft product versus this particular Linux product. But I think the problem with these things is, first of all, Ben, it's like total cost of ownership. It means nothing unless it's applied to your context in your setting. And it's the same with performance. Every Microsoft performance thing seems to be checked against some really old version of Red Hat.
Or some dodgy hardware that's like they're not equals.
Yeah, I mean, two things here. The first one is the ASA kicked Microsoft's ass, the advertising
standards. They did, yeah.
Because they went, oh, look at this, Server 2003 is loads faster than Red Hat 9 or whatever.
Running on 386.
First of all, they had Red Hat 9 running on a fucking Palm Pilot. and Server 2003 was running on this Quad Xeon, which had been specially tweaked by loads of Microsoft engineers. You know, and the ASA went, that's a completely unreasonable and unfair claim when you're not allowed to keep perpetuating it in the advert, was cool.
But they'd already done it. They'd
already done the advert. And the second thing, you notice how when they originally started comparing Windows and Linux, before, you know, Linux was kind of beneath notice, and then they started doing comparisons and saying Windows is technically superior and Linux isn't. And then Linux got to be as superior. And then, you know, Linux people started saying, and we're loads cheaper. And so they went, total cost of ownership. You see, it's not just about the price you pay for the box product. It's about the total cost of ownership. And then we started to demonstrate that total cost of ownership, even by their definition, was lower. So then it became return on investment.
Yep,
you know, they keep redefining how to work out how much stuff costs.
They have got kind of a point about the first year. Because training costs would be immense. But then, after that...
Exactly.
It's, I mean, same with anything else that's new.
It's an investment. And you know, people going, oh, we're not going to move to Word XP because it's, you know, because there'd be a training cost and stuff like that. Because you need it, because it makes your business better.
I guess.
Yes. You know, I just thought it was interesting the way they've continually redefined how to work out your costs in order to make sure that they seem to come up ahead. And soon we'll be able to talk about, you know, return on investment as being high on Linux products, and then what will they invent? Another three-letter acronym about, you know, something.
I think one point...
Well, it'll damage your country's economy, remember?
Indeed.
It'll kill all your parents and your dog.
I think one point to make about Microsoft...
Which is why I run Linux. Probably I had a dog.
I think one point to make about Microsoft as well is that...
You love them.
I don't love them, but I don't think they're this big evil organisation everyone makes them out to be. They're like any... I think this is part of the thing that lets Linux users down, is this childish bickering about, Microsoft, they're so evil. I think the thing is, they're like any large organisation. They've got Muppets in them, and they've got really cool people in there.
What you're saying is true. There are a lot of people in the Linux community who just slate Microsoft and don't generally have a clue what they're talking about.
Do you know what hits me? I absolutely fucking detest, right?
What?
And everybody's going to do this now in emails to me. I hate it when people... When they say Microsoft, put a dollar sign. Yes. It's so childish.
Or even Windows.
And yes, I've done it in the past, but I grew up.
My big issue with what you're saying there is, people slag off Microsoft specifically. And you can't tell me that any one of a dozen other companies, IBM were just as bad. Novell would be as bad. Sun would be as bad if they were running it.
Apple.
So would Apple. Exactly.
Worse.
So would Red Hat, probably.
Yeah, completely.
But the point is that's exactly what I meant.
So would Red Hat.
Or it's a thread about what I meant.
So would Red Hat.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Any organisation that gets to the level of the size of Microsoft.
Fedora Core.
But they can afford to do that because they're not winning. I'll tell you what, I think if they had 90% of the market, they'd be shutting off Suzy in exactly the same way that Suzy, you know, they didn't release Yast and stuff like that. And if Suzy had 90% of the computer market, they wouldn't have open sourced Yast.
The other thing to bear
just
in mind.
Just to go off on a tangent, what do you think of Yast, by the way? Because I've had to use it this week on this course I've been doing.
I'll be honest, I've not used it enough to tell.
I've used it once or twice and thought it was quite cool. I think part of the issue here, though, is that when you get to a company the size of someone such as Microsoft, right, is that they bring in management types who are used to running businesses of that kind of size, and people like that are much more ruthless. People who are running smaller organisations are going to be much more forgiving, much more interoperable with people, whereas... If Red Hat got anywhere near the size of someone like Microsoft, they'd bring in the big shots and they'd screw everyone over.
They'd stop thinking about openness and start thinking about lock-in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There'd be perceived license everywhere.
But this, to be quite honest...
I really hope you're wrong.
This, to be quite honest with you, is a big thread about what I meant in the previous episode about corporations coming in and taking over Linux. Because it terrifies me that Novell and Red Hat and Sun and IBM will come in and take over Linux and just... carry on being this normal corporate thing where they've got a load of tossers who are interested in locking people into their thing.
Doesn't the GPL stop that, though?
It does and it doesn't.
Depends on your point of view. I mean, they could distribute a load of their stuff as web services. They could distribute.
Now you've given them the idea.
They could distribute binary-only kernel modules. Which you know, might be against GPL and might not.
What about if someone creates a distribution the software in the distribution is free, but they include closed source components.
Don't catch me using a Mac for almost exactly that reason.
So therefore, you can't download
plus $2,000.
You can't download the stock ISO because it's got all of the commercial components in there. You've got to go and get all a bit separately. So you're not in the same playing field as somebody who's got the commercial version, and that's part of the reason why I use Ubuntu.
And that's why remember your Open Exchange thing that you were talking about, where you know you can get the free software version, or you can buy the commercial one, and they're theoretically the same, but you've got to compile and put everything together yourself, and you get no help. But it's really, really, really difficult.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's a certain amount to be said for paying for. You know, convenience.
A certain amount of convenience.
But on the other hand, if you're not paying for convenience, but you're paying to avoid tons and tons and tons of inconvenience, then it's shading the line
a bit.
And that's exactly what you could do.
Lots of inconvenience just to make it free.
I don't know. I mean, you get the impression that that's the sort of thing that people would do. They'd obey the letter of the law, but not its spirit. Well, I mean, I bet you there are guys sitting there at IBM right now trying to work out ways around the GPL. This sort of thing must give RMS nightmares. That as soon as you know, if the GPL is just kind of if the GPL is kind of a broad principle, if you use software, you must give it away as well. Then it's all good. But as soon as you have to actually write it down into a concrete form in order to make it a rule, a law, a license.
Yeah, like GPL 3.
And as soon as you write it down, people start going, ah, well, those words, you chose them, and that means that we can do this, because that's not technically prohibited. All lawyers ought to be shot. Right?
I agree. I was just about to say all lawyers should be shot.
But there's not really a lot you can do about it. I mean, as soon as you write something down in a concrete form, people are going to do that. And this is why I think, you know, the Free Software Foundation has spent 10 years thinking about GPL3, and it's going to take another couple of years. I think RMS is shitting his pants about the idea that they'll release GPL3, everyone will go, it's the Free Software Foundation GPL. Nice.
I can smell their feet, by the way.
Lovely.
It's not mine.
Somebody's feet. But,
well, we don't normally smell feet. You've come in for one episode and we smell feet.
And feet are smelled. But seriously, I mean, I reckon the bloke's bricking himself about how they're gonna do this, and then there's going to turn out to be this great big fucking hole in it you drive a coach and horses through, and suddenly the whole free software world is not going to be free anymore. Microsoft's going to own the lot, and it'll be his fault.
The thing is, it's like any kind of commercialisation, though. You know, it's very defensive, isn't it? It's very strategic and defensive. And the thing is if, like you say, Ak, that you can imagine them sitting at Red Hat or wherever trying to think of ways around the GPL. And I can imagine that as well. And that's a bad thing. But then again, how many open source people think about ways around commercial rules and regulations?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it works. We all try and get around the system for our own benefit, and we've got to expect that the commercial people are going to do that as well.
You are listening to the Groudio.
And now we're going to move swiftly on to talk about the cell chip from Sony.
Look at him taking control. Bloody hell, introducing things.
You like it when he takes control.
I'll show you scum how to do Lagrania. Wrong.
By the way, I had to take this kind of abuse.
Fucking on-call ball is properly parked.
Exactly.
It comes with being ginger.
Is that only the hardcore?
It's ginger corner over there, by the way, Jono.
It's ginger corner.
They're taking over.
Can I hear the abuse from the bald and the nearly
bald? I'm not nearly bald.
Yes, you are nearly bald.
No, better bald than ginger.
Yeah.
Nearly bald. I can see your head all the way through your hair, right the way up the back.
Receding.
At least I'm not ginger, that's the main thing.
And now Ron being ginger.
Indeed.
Yes, there is.
No, there is.
Yes, there is.
Alright.
Sorry.
Excuse me, guys. The cell chip.
The cell chip from Sony.
I've just been told is not a chip made out of cells.
No, it's not a bio chip.
By the way, I'm
so disappointed.
I really can't wait to talk about this. Come on. Let's go.
Well, I mean, if it was a chip made from cells, it'd be ace, but
that'd be weird, though. It'd be squelchy.
You couldn't sell it on eBay, could you? Because it'd have DNA in it.
Yes. I mean, it'd be squelchy. The chip in your machine could be squelchy. You wouldn't know.
I've touched it. It doesn't squelch.
You built your own machine?
I did.
Oh, fuck that noise.
Is that why it's got a gay glass side?
That's why it's got a window.
You chose to have that case.
But no UV light.
You know, down with the neon machine.
There's nothing wrong with either homosexuals or glass sides.
What about a homosexual with a glass side?
Glass at his side.
Glass up his side. So
homosexual with a neon light inside him.
No,
that's just wrong.
That's big no. So the cell chip, it's in the PlayStation 3.
The PlayStation 3. Yeah.
And it might cross over to PCs.
Hang on, if there's a PlayStation 3 already?
Not yet.
No.
Oh, okay. Right.
Do you ever read the internet?
You know what? I packed my television away like 3-4 months ago and I'm really? So behind on everything.
Because I've seen loads of stuff about the PlayStation 3 on the TV.
I was technical on the other hand.
It's on every other day, isn't it?
The thing which leads me to believe that this is not going to revolutionise the whole PC architecture world is that Transmeta tried that and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And Sony are only going to have
it. What is it, a dedicated graphics chip or what is it?
No, it's a
distributed processor.
Oh, it's a CPU.
Well, I think from what I remember reading something about it about a year ago and they were basically saying everybody will plug in and it'll act like a distributed cell network. So when you plug your PlayStation 3 in, if somebody's playing Tetris on their PlayStations down the road,
you can use their
CPU cycles.
Yeah, that could be cool.
It's like a massive kind of SETI at home thing.
Mm.
but built in at chip level.
Yeah.
Slight tangent.
It seems like a dangle way for Sony to watch what everyone's doing, as far as I can tell.
And slight tangent, but what do we think about the Lycos screensaver thing, by the way?
Worst idea in the fucking world. Universe.
What was that, sorry?
Oh, my
the Lycos
God.
Screensaver that actually does a... Is it denial of service against
the
spammers?
Yes. Yeah. That Lycos had a distributed screensaver, so when you ran the screensaver, at the same time, you were ping flooding.
Did you hear about
the spammers? So
the Trojan that went round. There was an email that went round, and it was actually masquerading as though it was this Lycos screensaver, but it was actually a key grabber. It was actually a Trojan. So it was like a triple whammy.
I love the way Lycos took it all away. They said, we're not doing the screensaver anymore, because it worked.
Yeah, it took the sides then, yeah.
Yeah, but you talk bollocks. Well, you took it away because everyone went, that's a stupid idea, turn it off.
Yeah, so...
Anyway, the cell chip. Sorry to take you off on that tangent.
It's all right. We're just trying to avoid talking about the cell chip that we know nothing about.
Well, no, I mean...
No, you know, no more about it.
Transmeta tried to bring out a new chip with the Crusoe thing. And, you know, you could buy laptops with Transmeta Crusoe chips in them and they had enough money to...
Were there any Robinson
and
chips?
Stuff like that. No, disappointingly. you would hope so. No Swiss families either. But... You know, to be honest with you, if any chips can take over, it's going to be the PowerPC.
But I like the whole idea of shipping CPU cycles off to other machines over the net. I like the
but
idea
could,
of that.
You can wire that into an operating system.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so why did you do it at chip level? Why did you invent a whole new chip and recompile every single application in the world and port them all?
And sure, I mean, the thing is, if it's done on the PlayStation 3, well, it's probably going to be plugging loads
of
graphics data.
Loads of people are going to plug into that.
Well, I'm just thinking about the pipe necessary to do this.
I've always had a fat pipe, mate.
You do have a fat, wide pipe.
Yes. You can vouch for that, can you?
Yeah, it's been widened officially, I suspect.
Mechanically widened.
No,
or hydraulically widened.
Socket's like been widened. M6.
Aren't IBM getting into that whole sort of like distributing network, solving problems stuff?
You're
going to
say
computers.
Something about his penis.
I would like to, but I will refrain.
Aren't IBM getting into on-call balls rectum? No, they're not. No, well, IBM have got against stuff like this because they haven't got a PC business anymore.
Yeah, they sold it.
They have.
Yeah.
They have. Sold the PC business.
Some rumours about Apple.
It's too much of a cutthroat business to be in these days. I've always thought of IBM as like big mainframes back
big
in the 80s.
And services. I mean, then they invent themselves as a services consultant.
To be fair,
anyway.
They did kind of bring the PC to us in the 80s, didn't they? I mean, they were one of the bigger movies.
They invented it. They did. Everything was IBM PC compatible, and then it just became PC compatible after that.
And they could very nearly have become Microsoft, but they didn't.
But they were Microsoft.
Well,
in the whole world.
I'm on about Microsoft now. Yeah, they were back then. I'm on about they could have become the Microsoft of today.
Well, they could have stayed being the IBM of 1978 all the way through to today.
Although, in saying that, I don't think they would have done, because I don't think IBM could have innovated in the ways that Microsoft has innovated. I mean, to be fair to Microsoft, they've innovated.
They
have, absolutely.
I totally agree. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, going on IBM's past history, they're not really great innovators.
No, they're
15
not.
People to sell you like an.
You don't think IBM,
number.
And you're thinking. You don't think innovation. You,
no,
you think
huge
servers.
Lumbering dinosaur.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I mean,
we run IBM servers. They're brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, the problem with IBM's PC business is that they invented the PC business and then they kept trying to invent. Stuff which was different. They invented the PCJR, and then they invented the PS2 series, which had the MCA bus in it rather than IC. You know, so they wanted a different the microchannel bus.
True.
And the Aptivas, their desktop machines, were kind of a bit non-standard. And if you look at ThinkPads, they're a bit non-standard.
They made a few mistakes.
They got weird sockets on, and they never seem to be satisfied with building PCs. They want to reinvent the PC market again, because then they'll still be the only person making them, and then they'll win.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't seem to get off that.
You think that it'll learn years back, wouldn't you?
They don't do any of that. I mean, they do standardise completely.
I get the impression they do what they like and everyone else falls in line with them because they're IBM. You know, we used to talk about the connector conspiracy all the time on servers.
Yeah.
Every time you upgraded the server, you had to buy all new peripherals as well.
Have you seen that on the ThinkPads? There's a call IBM button.
Really?
Yes, yeah, I've got a ThinkPad, yeah.
Is it like calling nurses on planes?
It's exactly like the hash key.
Push it, no hash.
Nobody comes.
Push it, no one from IBM shows up.
Adam Jolens turns up. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
I suspect, unfortunately, what happens is you press it and then it prints up 4 and then a tilde and then a hash or something.
Something written in Fortran is going to show up.
Or even worse, Python.
What's it supposed to do? Presumably under a Windows box, it's...
Well,
it's just a hotkey. Is that what it does?
I'm assuming so. Have you ever used one of the ThinkPads?
I use one every day.
Really?
Work.
Briefly.
They're ugly machines, but really nice, aren't they?
No, they're really ugly and... What do you mean by nice?
Well, they're quite usable and comfortable.
See, I really hate nipple thing. I'd just much rather...
I hate nipples.
No, I don't... Well...
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you like to touch or twist?
I like to glide my fingers across the pad.
You like to stroke gently.
Do you tap the pad like Ack?
Oh, yeah.
So do you tap it and stroke it in different ways?
In quick succession.
I do.
You don't even need buttons.
I tap the pad regularly.
I just hammer on the buttons.
Or your single button on your Mac.
One button.
He hates Macs.
ThinkPads.
He's bald and he hates the Mac.
ThinkPads.
You're the boss.
ThinkPads to me always seem to be, you know, quite cool in terms of equipment, but they always seem really sort of short and stocky, like a little...
They
short,
are
annoying wrestler.
The very latest, you know, the very latest ones are actually starting to look quite slim and quite nice. But you're right.
They never look trendy. They look kind of utilitarian. Like you use them as a doorstop if you need it.
They're for salespeople, aren't they? You're going to drop them from like the top of the stairs and.
But they're not for flashy orange glasses salespeople.
No,
they've got power books and Sony Vios.
Yeah,
look really flash.
That's twats.
and
the bacon. You're excluded.
I think the thing about those ThinkPads is that they look, you know, like when you're watching a film and someone's breaking into a bank and they get out like a laptop with a special card that they slide into an ATM and then it breaks them in. They all seem to be running shite computers that look like ThinkPads.
Yep.
Or those librettos.
Yeah, the libretto is, you know, it's about a third of a good computer.
Isn't that a little Italian motorcycle?
Not quite.
That's a Lambretta, isn't it?
Is that a Vespa or something?
I thought it was like playing the violin, but where the note goes, woo, really got wavery. Well, hang on, that's vibrato.
Have you seen those things called the OQO?
Oquo.
Oh,
what is it? Is it an American Indian tribe or something?
She was married to John Lennon, wasn't she?
Yoko Ono, which is Japanese for one egg, please.
Yoko Ono's only got one egg.
Does she lay eggs? Can you imagine?
Have we been taking LSD?
Aid looks genuinely confused. Can you imagine Yoko Ono? She ovulates and like lays an egg. And it's like,
that would be nice, actually.
Why would it be nice?
Eggs for breakfast.
You know, I've seen some...
that's disgusting.
I've seen some odd sexual fetishes on the internet, but I've never seen anyone...
Egg laying.
Yoko egg laying.
In fact, I'm prepared to get one shiny Bank of England pound that there's some kind of fetishist group out there dedicated to egg laying. Or a news group or something
sex.
Like that.
Egg
sex. out.fun.egglaying.binaries. Gotta worry about this. Anyway, what's an Aqua?
It's like a PC with a touch screen. So it looks a bit like a web tablet, but the screen slides back and there's a keyboard underneath it.
I know what you mean.
So it's a Zaurus.
It's like a full proper PC.
It's like a tablet PC.
It's a little bit smaller.
It's like, apparently it's really packed in there. It's like a brick.
Oh, because the tablet PCs have got the keyboard in.
Yeah.
And everything. They sort of slide up.
The tablet PCs don't always have a keyboard.
You can get them with a keyboard.
Yeah, they're called OQOs.
Actually, this brings us nicely to something I was going to talk about later.
Slide in, as
the Americans say.
Go on, slide yourself in, eh?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, later on I was going to discuss, will we always be playing catch-up? Because at my last place, they sold a lot of tablet PCs, and obviously they were running XP Tablet Edition. And I was thinking, well, there isn't a Linux equivalent of XP Tablet Edition. So are we always, like, in about 5 years' time, will there be a Linux Tablet Edition? Are we always going to be behind the times? Same with Project Utopia. I mean, we're all jumping around now saying, oh, we've got Project Utopia, we can plug a USB device in, and it just works. And all the Windows people are like, that like about 5 years ago. And we're getting really excited. Are we always going to be playing catch-up?
No.
I think we are.
I don't think so, because there were two things. Well, look at things like the Spatial Nautilus in GNOME. You know,
it's not exactly innovation, though, is it?
it remembers where it was closed. 10 years ago.
So bear with me. What have Microsoft done that no one else has done before? Not if you're going to disallow the Spatial Nautilus because we didn't think it up,
right,
then you can't allow anything that Microsoft did, which they copied off of Xerox PARC or off of the Mac OS or anything like that.
Oh, so, okay, I get you. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, yes, I admit we didn't think up the
spatial. By the
way,
will somebody write in and
idea?
Say, by the way, there is a tablet edition of Linux?
There is. Well, people have
with
ported
handwriting
Linux to the tablet PC with handwriting and everything. I want to look at the Xerox.
Really?
That runs Linux and does handwriting.
It's not a tablet PC, though, is it?
Nowhere near, to be quite honest.
No, but the principle's basically the same. You use X-Stroke.
But that's like saying the principle's the same between a mainframe and a watch.
Stare the envoy.
Hello,
Matt. Matt's not here this week.
Oh my god,
don't
I can
get
see
so
his
angry.
Testicles.
Look at that.
You can see Matt's testicles.
Axe packages hanging out.
Axe sack.
It most certainly is not hanging out.
Looks like a dog's ear.
People have ported Linux to the tablet PC and had it working with handwriting. And
really?
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Really? Right.
But it's
okay.
A different kettle of fish, isn't it? Why do people keep fish in kettles? It's a different kettle of fish. I mean, like I say, it's like saying that a watch is similar to a mainframe. They're different scales.
Sorry,
aren't they?
I don't understand your point. What do you mean? What do you mean? It's a different kettle of fish.
Well,
there's no special version of Linux that runs on.
I should imagine it's nowhere slick.
That runs on the tablet PC in the same way there is a special edition of Windows XP. But there's no special edition of Windows that runs on firewalls. And there is a special edition of Linux that does that. You know.
But what I'm saying is that. There's a world of difference between there is a similarity between a Zorus and tablet PC, but there's also a lot of difference between them.
A heck of a lot, yeah.
Right? And you can't say, oh well, it should be therefore fairly straightforward. It shouldn't be a problem
because if demand was there, then somebody would come along and create it.
Bear with me. What's the difference between a tablet PC and a laptop, other than the fact that you haven't got a keyboard and you've got to do everything by writing?
That's basically the same thing.
And you can do everything with just the stylus on a Zorus. Yes? So you need to do handwriting.
Can you do joined-up handwriting?
But this is the point. This is the point that the concepts are essentially the same, but they're different enough that you can't say, well, because there's software for the Zorus and there's software for a laptop, therefore it shouldn't be a problem creating the web pad thing.
Tablet.
Did you just lose the plot halfway through then?
I was too busy filling in my organ.
I think I completely disagree with you. That's the point. You know, these things already exist.
How can Jono disagree?
these things already do.
They do exist. But the fact of the matter is, that there isn't anything there, is there?
Well.
I can't do it as well as you do.
All I can tell you about it is that when the tablet PCs first came out, you know, they'd been out about sort of 6 months or so, and I thought, I wonder if you can run Linux on one of these things, because a bloke at work got one.
Right.
And he got it on, quote, a free trial, unquote, for 3 months, and I think he's still got it.
Yeah.
18 months later.
They're really good.
And I went looking to see, and I saw some people that said, yes, we're running Linux on tablet PC.
No,
you know?
No wrapping up. No to that.
No wrapping. Right, no. Sorry, so
Christmas is coming. We need to wrap up.
So you don't think we'll always be playing catch up?
I think.
I mean, I know that Linux is a lot newer than Windows, so to a certain extent, you've got to do a bit of catch up. But
there are some things. If you look at something like the tablet PC,
right?
Until we get a lot bigger, we are going to be playing catch up because Microsoft could go to manufacturers and say, "Build this device, and we'll port Windows to it." And we can't do that.
They do have a very big advantage there with manufacturers.
That's for manufacturers.
Okay, so
in terms of software innovation, I mean, you know, if you look at things like the way GNOME is going, one of the reasons I like GNOME is because they're trying to innovate in the desktop environment space, which is somewhere that I don't think KDE is doing it. People disagree with me. But if KDE are doing it as well, then great, even better, you know.
I agree with you. Ah, aid silent. Ah. He's looking as if to say, what?
On-call bald silencio.
On-call bald. Can't believe it. I'm surprised you've not been called Uncle Bald.
Because I'm not on call.
You're not on call. Bald. He's just bald.
Just bald. Off call bald.
Off call bald.
This calls for the organ.
It does. Hang on.
A musical interlude, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Bacon on his organ.
Uncle.
You got your beard trapped in it again.
You can email us on show@lugradio.org. That's show@lugradio.org.
Now, I know we always say, hasn't it gone quickly, but... Fuck, hasn't it gone quickly?
Yes.
Yeah, end so of the show.
Quick. It has.
It feels like we've only talked about, like, two things.
We probably have.
Talked about loads.
Talked about afros.
Yep.
We talked about how good Fedora Core was.
Yes.
Had a quick chat
Gavin. That did go quick.
Yeah.
We talked about how good Fedora Core was.
Only because you're going to edit it.
It went so quick, I didn't even fucking notice it.
Yeah, we also talked about, will we always be playing catch-up?
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is something we could probably come back to profitably every single week.
Yeah.
Yes.
A running theme.
A running theme.
Yes. Something we ought to say, probably, is thanks to all the guys on the forums. Because in the last couple of weeks, we've been saying what we'd like to see on Lug Radio, what can we go for, stuff
a
like that.
A lot of people
have been... And people have been suggesting ideas, coming up with helpful stuff.
People still really keen on paintball, by the way. It will happen.
Yes.
I'm thinking it's... I mentioned to someone the other day that I think we should do it around February next year.
February sounds good.
We want to do it in the winter.
Because I quite like the idea of freezing my fucking nae-nae off in a forest somewhere. We like that. But
you sweat when you run up the stairs. You're going to be all right in the cold weather.
Break into a sweat thinking about running upstairs, to be honest.
And when you part with money. I've noticed.
He sweats when he opens his wallet.
Does it open?
Aye.
It does, but you've got to encrypt it first and have your public key on the key server.
Bollocks. You're too lazy.
You've been trying to make me encrypt my email.
Sign and encrypt your emails.
I am going to do it tonight.
Sign emails? Yeah. Encrypt them? No.
Why?
Why would you want to?
Why would you want other people reading them?
If I've got something that I want kept secret, then I'll encrypt it, and I do. Yeah.
Do you think that when you went to send something that had sensitive information in, you would think, I must encrypt this one?
Because when I send sensitive information, I tend not to send it by email at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's not encrypted.
Because it's not encrypted. I'll ring people up, or I'll go around and see them.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That's what I tend to do as well. The forums.
Yeah, just, you know, thanks a lot, guys. Keep it up, really.
I think it's pretty impressive. I know we've probably said this before, but it's really quite heartening to know all of these people are still into Lug Radio.
It's amazing,
still listening.
And it's...
Of course, we've opened ourselves up to a much wider network now through podcasting.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, well done, man.
Smug bastard.
Yeah, it works as well.
It's only taken me 9 fucking months, but I have.
I thought you were going to say, we've opened ourselves up to so many more people now, the Linux show doesn't exist anymore.
Well, there is that, but, I mean, I don't know...
It is a shame, isn't it?
It is a shame.
It's not much of a shame, but it is a shame.
It's a really big shame.
It's a shame, like, when you stand in a dog shit.
It's a really big shame that the Linux show gone, and we all feel for you, and it must be a really trouble.
So does that make us...
£65,000 to run a radio show?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my quarter share of this £65,000 that's going to rain in on Lug Radio
Show. It costs us about 28p to make a radio show.
I read that, and I just thought, £65,000? I just thought, cocks. You cocks. What are you doing with it? Burning it?
I don't know. I mean, I assume they stream...
Over what?
That'll be why. It'll be all bandwidth.
Yeah.
But for God's
sake.
They've
got like 70,000 listeners or something.
Yeah. Skype?
What about it?
What about it?
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant that there were...
No, they've not got 70,000 guests on each show.
Lost the plot there.
The bald man's...
I
thought they were saying the costs were all to do with these long-distance phone calls. They're all different ends of the country, aren't they?
They seem to say that there was a lot of that.
A lot of telephone costs. But that's why I was thinking Skype.
I mean, possibly that's the important thing. People were listening
streaming
to it
because
they were speaking to Eric Raymond, and they were speaking to the head of Novell and things like that.
How much does phone calls cost in the US? Like, do they not have a penny a minute things?
I don't believe it's got to be their bandwidth.
If you've got streaming bandwidth, if you've got 70,000 listeners all listening at once, that's a hell of a lot of bandwidth.
That's the reason why .NET Rocks cost a lot of money to do as well.
Cost them a fortune. They're hosted on MSDN, for God's sake.
And I say BitTorrent at this point.
Yeah, why do they bother streaming live? Why bother streaming? It's going to cost you that much.
That's what we need. We need a BitTorrent streaming service.
Couldn't do it. Because the whole point of streaming is that you get a constant delivery rate, and that doesn't work.
Well, what about Skype?
Well,
that kind of, in a roundabout way, streams you data.
I can't see why you couldn't have... I mean, you know the Skype Echo service? I can't see why you couldn't have something playing on loop on Skype, and then someone just connects to it and listens.
That's what I mean, yeah. It'd be the equivalent of ringing someone's Skypey account.
And Skypey? Then,
sorry, I don't know why I called it Skypey just then.
Is that Gnomi?
Anyway.
Gina.
Yeah, so.
Debian.
What?
Everyone just pronounces Debian in a different way.
Debian.
Debian.
It's Debian. Debian. Debian.
But it's Debian.
I know.
It is.
From Deb and Ian.
Yeah.
I can't see why you couldn't do this, Skype. It'd be like, you know how you could ring up a number and then listen to them talking about something. You know.
That's not one of those 0898 numbers.
Chat lines.
But it goes like this. That wasn't what I was actually thinking when I said it. As soon as I did say it, I thought, that sounds like a porn line, doesn't it? That's what that is.
It's the K-Exchange.
Maybe that should be the next spin-off project for us.
What?
It could be like
Porn Lug Radio.
Porn Lug Radio. I just need to get
Dialer Radio.
Cover Matt in chicken fat.
You cover him in your fat if you want.
Man fat.
Speaking of man fat, so yeah, the forums. Thank you very much, people.
Yeah, thank you for the voice. We must actually
By the way, you had the Linux show going. That makes us the premier open source.
We are. We are the world's best open source radio show. Sorry to the Linux Link Tech Show guys. But we've decided we're better than you. Let's have a vote. Right? Who thinks we're better than the Linux Link Tech Show? That's 100%. If you don't like it, well, that's democracy.
I think in their defence, they do it live. They do it every single week.
They have a streaming thing and we don't, apart from the fact that we hijack the streaming thing by being on it.
And to be fair, that kind of poll is the same kind of poll that Microsoft use that we disagree with earlier.
Yep.
So,
and Link scores enormous bonus points, as far as I can tell, for writing Bash Potter.
I thought you were going to say because he looks like you. Yeah.
No, that's Dan. That's like me.
Oh, you accept it now?
Everyone else. There comes a point when I start thinking, I think this thing, and everyone else thinks something different. There's an outside
That's
possibility
every day,
I might
isn't it?
Be wrong.
By the way, can I ask you a question, Mac?
Will you marry me?
You can ask. I might not answer.
Can I ask you a question? You know Blackpool?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Blackpool, the world's biggest tourist attraction?
I was just about to ask the same question. Someone, a little birdie, told me that it's the world's biggest tourist.
I don't believe anyone ever told you it was the world's biggest.
Oh.
Someone may have told you it was the world's second biggest, and it turned out to be Europe's third biggest.
A little difference in scale, I think.
a little bit, but
world's second biggest, yes. Europe's third biggest.
You know, when I first found out that you got it wrong, I just had an instant vision in my head of Animal from the Muppets. I just imagine you sat in front of your desk going...
I had a picture of you going...
I was most annoyed when I discovered that I was wrong.
At least you posted and said, okay, I'm wrong.
So, I suppose we better wrap this up then, because... Yep.
People have got CDs to burn.
So the next issue is going to be the Christmas one.
It is. Yes. And it's going to be a special one.
Ding dong, merrily on high.
We'll have Matt back, so you don't have to listen to Lee any longer.
Thank you.
Catch you later, man.
Do you feel used?
No.
And abused.
Do you want
just
to feel used?
No.
Thanks for coming on the show, Lee.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
We appreciate
right.
it. It's been good to have
it.
Your input.
Thanks for having me.
We are trying to keep the guests rolling. Thanks again to Gavin. He was a great guest today, and it's good to speak to him. And we're going to have some other people on the show. If you want to be on Lug Radio and you're interesting,
let us know.
Get in touch with us.
You see, that was dangerous, though, because now people will contact us, won't appear on the show, and decide that's because we don't think they're interesting.
Yeah.
And another thing, this is the last ever show in the official Lug Radio studio. The first
it
one.
Is. It is.
I'm moving house.
We're going to be in Castle Bacon, the new one.
Oh, yes. This is a good house.
Jono's making us buy our own mic stands for the new studio.
Yeah, this is bigger, and we can actually fit four mic stands.
Let's just go and buy our mic stands.
I quite like this whole two mic stands but four mics vibe we've got here.
Are we all going to sit like 20 foot apart?
Yeah. In fact, it's going to be like Radio 2. We'll all have to like wear big cans and everything and sit behind painted glass.
And have a big red button.
Yeah, that says on it.
That says on it.
Anyway...
I'm just too tired for this, man.
See you later, people.
Bye.
Ciao.